I believe everyone is familiar with or has at least heard the stories of King Saul, David, and Solomon. They were the only ones to rule over the entire territory of Israel before its division, bringing moments of glory and prosperity to the nation. However, today we will not talk about them. Today we will learn about the tragic stories of the four worst kings of the Old Testament who ruled Israel. As usual, I ask for your like, subscription to the channel, and let's get straight to the video. After King Solomon's death, Israel faced a tumultuous transition. Solomon's reign, known for its wisdom and grandeur, left a kingdom burdened by taxes and labor demands. Discontent grew among the tribes, exacerbated by social division and government policies. This set the stage for the succession of Rehoboam, Solomon, and Naamah's son, who faced the difficult task of dealing with the people's expectations. In a crucial moment of royal succession, Rehoboam faces a significant meeting with the representatives of the people of Israel. This meeting goes beyond a formality, being a decisive moment that will profoundly influence the kingdom's trajectory. The representatives openly express the difficulties faced by the population due to the excessive demands that marked Solomon's reign. The weight of taxes, the burden of forced labor, and the increasing demands generated widespread discontent. At this critical moment, Rehoboam faces the crucial decision of how to respond to the people's demands, receiving divergent advice. On one side, the elders, wise and experienced, advise a sympathetic stance towards the people, easing the demands and showing understanding towards the tribes of Israel. On the other hand, the young advisers suggest a more authoritarian approach, reinforcing the demands and showing firmness to impose respect. This perspective reflects a less conciliatory approach, focused on maintaining control and taxes. Faced with these distinct pieces of advice, Rehoboam opts to follow the suggestion of the young advisers, choosing an inflexible stance and refusing to ease the burdens imposed during Solomon's reign. Rehoboam's refusal to meet the people's demands triggers a wave of discontent that quickly transforms into a turbulent sea of dissatisfaction, marking a challenging period in the kingdom's history. The northern tribes, led by Jeroboam, can no longer endure the constant oppression and the king's refusal to heed their needs. This tumultuous situation culminates in Jeroboam's decision to lead the northern tribes' separation, forming the Northern Kingdom of Israel, simply known as Israel. After the division of the kingdom, Rehoboam, the king of Judah, took steps to mobilize an army, seeking to regain control over the newly formed northern kingdom led by Jeroboam. However, divine intervention was present in this tense scenario. God, through a clear message, forbade the southern tribes from proceeding with military action, instructing them not to fight against their own brothers. Furthermore, God warned that the division was under his total control and occurring according to his sovereign will. The biblical narrative reveals that, despite Rehoboam adhering to God's instruction not to invade the northern kingdom, his reign was not free from actions that displeased God. Rehoboam's disobedience manifested through choices that contradicted divine principles. Rehoboam allowed the persistence of altars and idolatrous worship, promoting an atmosphere of apostasy and deviation from true worship. Additionally, his reign was marked by a period of political instability and conflicts, reflecting an administration that often strayed from paths of justice and equity. As a result of divine displeasure, Judah faced external threats and conflicts, culminating in the rise of enemies who attacked and plundered the nation. The Bible highlights the Egyptian invasion led by Shishak as an event that brought devastation to Jerusalem and the kingdom of Judah. Temples and treasures were looted, resulting in material and spiritual losses for the people. The tragic end of Rehoboam's reign also involved the destruction of the temple in Jerusalem, the central symbol of Jewish worship. This impactful loss marked a dark period in Judah's history, highlighting the consequences of a government that departed from divine principles. Regarding Rehoboam's death, the Bible does not provide specific details, omitting a direct account of the circumstances of his passing. However, the second book of Chronicles mentions that Rehoboam reigned in Jerusalem for 17 years, and after his death, his son Abijah, or Abijam, succeeded him on the throne of Judah. King Ahab. The tragic story of King Ahab is a complex and remarkable narrative filled with events that resonate throughout the biblical pages. His reign, described primarily in the books of Kings and Chronicles, is characterized by disastrous choices and a downward spiral towards idolatry and corruption. Ahab ascended to the throne of Israel around the 9th century BC, succeeding his father, Omri. He led Israel for 22 years. However, a matrimonial alliance with Jezebel, a Phoenician princess, became a crucial turning point in his reign. Jezebel introduced the worship of the god Baal in Israel, leading the people into idolatry and away from the one true God. In this scenario, the prophet Elijah, sent by God, emerged as a zealous defender of worship to the true God. He challenged Ahab to summon all the prophets of Baal for a test of power on Mount Carmel. The scene on Mount Carmel gathered a great assembly, including the prophets of Baal, the people of Israel, and Elijah. The challenge was clear. Each group was to prepare a sacrifice, and the God who responded with fire would be recognized as the true God. The prophets of Baal began to invoke their God with fervor, dancing and shouting, but there was no response. Tension reached its peak when Elijah rebuilt an altar dedicated to the Lord, placed the sacrifice on it, and drenched it with water, defying human logic. Then, in a moment of divine splendor, the God of Israel responded. Heavenly fire descended and consumed not only the sacrifice, but also the water around the altar. The demonstration of divine presence was so powerful that the people of Israel bowed in recognition of the sovereignty of the true God. Despite this clear divine sign, Ahab did not repent of his idolatrous practices. His wife, Jezebel, intensified the persecution and murder of the prophets of the Lord God, resulting in the deaths of many, including the tragic incident involving Naboth and his vineyard. This story begins with Naboth, a righteous man and owner of a vineyard next to King Ahab's palace in Jezreel. King Ahab expressed a desire to acquire Naboth's vineyard to turn it into a herb garden. However, Naboth, respecting the inheritance and land ownership laws established by God, refused to sell his ancestral inheritance. Naboth's refusal to give up his vineyard left Ahab despondent, fueling a bitterness that turned into an obsessive desire to possess the vineyard at any cost. It was at this moment that Jezebel, Ahab's wife, entered the scene with a Machiavellian plot. She devised a plan to falsely accuse Naboth of blasphemy, thus creating a justification for his execution. The elders and leaders of the city, instigated by Jezebel, conspired against Naboth, falsely accusing him of blaspheming against God and the king. As a result, Naboth was stoned to death, and Jezebel informed Ahab that the vineyard was now available to be taken. God, through the prophet Elijah, sent a message of judgment upon Ahab and his house, announcing divine retribution for the evil acts committed, predicting a tragic end for the king. The prophet Elijah confronted Ahab, prophesying that dogs would lick his blood in the same place where Naboth was killed and that Ahab's house would be exterminated. Years later, during a battle against the Syrians, Ahab was warned by the prophets of God about the imminent danger of his death. However, he tried to deceive his enemies by disguising himself to avoid divine judgment. But God allowed a stray arrow to fatally strike him. Elijah's prophecy was fulfilled when Ahab's blood was washed off in Naboth's field, the same place where he had committed the crime. Ahab's story is a warning about the dangers of idolatry, corruption, and the nefarious influence of personal choices in a leader. His tragic trajectory highlights the consequences of straying from divine principles and serves as a lesson on the importance of faithfulness and obedience to God. The story of King Manasseh is a remarkable saga of downfall, repentance, and redemption. His reign, which spanned about 55 years, was marked by disastrous choices that led the kingdom of Judah down a path of spiritual degradation. Manasseh ascended to the throne as king of Judah at the age of 12, succeeding his pious father Hezekiah. At first, his rule seemed promising, but it didn't take long for Manasseh to stray from the ways of the Lord. He reintroduced idolatry in Judah, restoring pagan altars, worshipping celestial bodies, and constructing idols within the very temple dedicated to God. Manasseh's reign is marked by abominable practices, including the introduction of pagan rituals, human sacrifices, and the worship of foreign deities. His leadership led the people of Judah to significantly distance themselves from the God of their ancestors, plunging into spiritual darkness. In 2 Chronicles 33:10, the Bible mentions that the Lord spoke to Manasseh and his people, but they paid no attention. This suggests that God sent messages and warnings through the prophets, instructing Manasseh to abandon his idolatrous practices and return to the ways of the Lord. However, in his persistent apostasy, Manasseh attracted God's wrath upon Judah. In response, the Lord allowed the Assyrian armies, led by the king of Assyria, to capture him. Imprisoned and humiliated, Manasseh experienced a moment of deep reflection and self-assessment during his Assyrian captivity. In this period of adversity, he faced the bitter reality of the consequences of his ungodly choices. The anguish of captivity and the awareness of divine justice awakened a genuine sense of repentance in him. It is in this moment of weakness and humility that Manasseh, recognizing his transgression, fervently cried out to the God of his fathers. His supplication reflected a contrite and repentant heart, seeking divine mercy despite his own unworthiness. God, in his infinite compassion, heard Manasseh's sincere prayer. The divine response not only freed the king from his captivity, but also restored him to the throne of Judah. This act of forgiveness and redemption is a testament to divine mercy that transcends human expectations. Upon his return, Manasseh undertook a remarkable transformation in his governance, abandoning idolatrous practices. Manasseh removed the idols and pagan altars he had established, restored the altar of the Lord, and encouraged the people to worship the God of Israel. However, despite Manasseh's efforts to redeem himself, the biblical narrative highlights that not all the evils caused during his reign could be completely undone. Some consequences of his actions continued to affect the people of Judah. After his death, his son Amon took the throne. Unfortunately, Amon did not follow in his father's steps of repentance. The Bible reports that Amon resumed the wicked practices of idolatry and iniquity that Manasseh had abandoned. He returned to idol worship, rejected the Lord, and continued to corrupt Judah. Amon's reign is described as a period of wickedness and rebellion against God. The final result was the destruction of Jerusalem and the dispersion of the people of Judah as a consequence of their sins. King Ahaz. The story of King Ahaz unfolds during the 8th century BC, a time of challenges and crises for God's chosen people. Ahaz ascended to the throne of Judah at the age of 20, following the death of his father, Jotham. Unlike his father, who was a righteous king, Ahaz chose a path of rebellion against God from the very beginning of his reign. He not only tolerated idolatry, but actively participated in pagan practices, such as offering sacrifices on pagan altars and even sacrificing his own son in worship to idols. At a crucial moment, Ahaz faced threats of invasion from the kingdoms of Israel and Syria. However, instead of seeking guidance and help from God, Ahaz turned to Assyria for assistance, submitting himself to the Assyrian king, Tiglath-Pileser III. This act of submission resulted in an alliance that, instead of bringing security, brought more problems to Judah. Ahaz and the people of Judah were compelled to pay tributes in gold and other goods to Assyria, effectively becoming subjects and dependents of Assyrian power. This financial and political submission not only represented a loss of independence for Judah, but also a concession of power and control to the Assyrians. By allying with Assyria, Ahaz introduced Assyrian and impious practices in Judah, including altering the altar in the temple to resemble the Assyrian model. He even closed the temple doors, diverting worship from the God of Israel. Idolatry and spiritual corruption became so deep during Ahaz's reign that the consequences affected not only the king, but the entire kingdom. Prophets, including Isaiah, warned Ahaz about the consequences of his actions and exhorted him to trust in God. However, Ahaz persisted in his rebellion and disbelief. The tragic end of his 16-year reign was marked by military defeats, foreign oppression, and a legacy of spiritual deviation. These were the four worst kings of Israel, according to biblical narratives. Their disastrous choices and impious practices led the nation into periods of spiritual decline and submission to foreign powers. After these disastrous reigns, Israel's history took a different turn. The Jews were taken as captives to Babylon, and the region of Israel saw the domination of various kingdoms and empires. After 70 years of exile, the Jews returned to their land, but without the independence they once had. Later, while the region of Israel was under the rule of Herod, a non-Jewish king whose power emanated from the Roman emperor, the boy Jesus was born. God, in his faithfulness to his promises, did not forget David's lineage. He sent Jesus, a descendant of David, to fulfill the promise of being the savior of the world. This divine intervention highlights God's love for the nation of Israel and his faithfulness to the promises made to David. I hope you enjoyed the video. Leave in the comments which king you think should be the fifth to enter this list. Blessings and stay with God.